Welcome to the Maverick Podcast, business growth tips and discussions to make you the expert in demand.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Maverick Podcast. I am Luke Two, and today I'm joined by Josh Ramirez.
First time on the podcast today.
So Josh, you are part of the sales team and you do a lot of discovery calls, but you also book a lot of your meetings online and on LinkedIn. And today what we want to tell everyone on the podcast, what we want to share with people, is how they can turn their DMs into more discovery calls, the right ways of doing it, the weird ways that we've seen it being done before. So first of all, what are the kind of silly ways that you've had where people have tried to get you onto a call?
So I wouldn't say it's so much a silly way, but the most generic ways are almost your spammy email lists. Actually go in, I've created a list of 100 people on LinkedIn. I'm just going to send them the same generic long message pitch and try and get them on a call that way. Or even your old school, pick up the phone and cold call someone. So they're the ones we normally see. Yes, there is a place for some of these strategies, but what you want to do is you want to build a relationship at first with these people before going in cold.
Yeah, the success rate for a cold call is about 2%. And if you think about how much time it would take for you to actually generate the results you need to consistently get some business, you know, be a successful salesperson, the amount of time it would take for a 2% return, you'd have to either be selling something on really like high level, but then again, you would need multiple calls for that, or you would need to be just calling everyone.
Yeah, the problem when you do that is when you're calling everyone, yes, like you said, you might get that up to 5% who book in with a call, but you have to think on the back end of your business, you're damaging your credibility essentially. Yeah. So you might send 100 cold emails, 100 cold pitches, you might phone 100 people, you might book 3 calls, but those other 97 people, what's a lasting impact on your business?
Exactly, yeah. So back in the day, the contact would be a phone call. Now a contact is a message and you need to treat them the same way because people are taking the time to read something from you. And if they feel like it's not worth their time, they're just not going to respond to you. And then every other message from there then is just complete, you know, wasted opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, I would say not the most important, but a very important aspect is understanding your market first. So understanding who it is you can help, how you can help them, and what are the similarities in who you are helping. So if I was going, right, our past 50 companies or our past 50 people that we have helped, what do they have in common? What are the main things that they struggle with? I can then start to look at similarities, and then that gives me that almost extra effort to then nurture them further.
So say you're starting out and you don't have those 50 people to look at through the data. How would you start looking for the people who would be right for you there?
So when it comes to that, I would probably have a look at what everyone else is doing. So who they're speaking to, their target market, almost like a company that you're looking up to in that respect.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to, once you've got that pool of people, oh, I've just knocked the mic there.
It's fine.
When you've got those pool of people, you can go on Sales Navigator. You can start to target by annual revenue, headcount growth, who's active, who's even moved jobs in the last 90 days. And then that makes your job so much easier. Just on that topic as well, I wouldn't overcomplicate it and I wouldn't try and target everyone and everything.
Yeah.
Because you become very diluted when you do that. So if you went, I want to target a million people, because a lot of people go, I target everyone in every industry. If you target everyone in every industry, your content is going to be very, very watered down.
Yeah.
So you're not actually talking to specific pains that your customers have.
Even if you're like training, or even if your B2B service is something, this is evergreen. It's stopping procrastination. It's getting better sleep. It's being the best you it can be. It's like, yes, that's really great to have. And you can approach everyone with that. But you need to go a little bit further, don't you? You can say, well, if I stopped wasting time and procrastinating as a technology company, what would the results of that be? It would be different for the results of someone who is a creative. Like, they would have different ideas. They would have different things that they value more about on those results. And I think if you talked about in your content and if you start asking questions about that, people will start resonating with that. So when you do actually message them, it's something which they've seen you before, they understand, you know, who you are, and they actually respond to you.
Yeah, exactly. And that comes into almost your content as well. So you can actually use your content as that almost inbound approach. So you can post polls, you can post PDFs. which are tailored towards specific paint, and you're almost dangling that carrot. So we do one where it's your how to write content that converts ebook. Now, the original ebook is 40 pages long. I'll post it on my LinkedIn perhaps once every 2 weeks, but I'll do a shortened copy of that. So I'll give away the first 7 pages and I will prompt people to comment or direct message me for the rest of it. I now know their intent and I can now follow those people up accordingly.
So you've piqued curiosity and you've given them something of value as well. So when they come to you and go, oh, I really enjoyed this. You know, I want to learn a little bit more. And then because they've come to you, the messages are a lot, you know, a lot less barriered, as I say, because when you do a cold message, there's always that frostiness, isn't there? There's always that, why is this person messaging me?
And that's the main thing why we always talk about your content as a big thing, because it's pre-selling them.
Yeah.
So when they have shown that intent, when I do now message them, it's not as prickly and as frosty as you just said.
Yeah, so if you're trying to turn a DM into a discovery call, you need to make sure the DM starts the best way it can start, which is by priming them with content, which is why they get to know you. So when they do directly message you or you message them, they know who you are, you know who they are, you know what they're interested in. Because
and you've built that trust as well with it.
And you've built trust. It's fantastic. So this is probably why people are saying, oh, I get a lot of messages, I get a lot of back and forths, but I don't get any calls resulting in it. That's probably because all they're doing really is creating conversations which don't really have the value interlaid between it. Like, they don't know why they're there. They're just kind of talking about the weather or sports or anything. And people think, oh, getting the conversation is the hardest part. It's like, yeah, you can get a conversation just by talking like and being personable and being nice. But you're not going to get a discovery call or a sales call if they're not there for the right reason.
Exactly. And I think the big thing is as well, people don't know what they don't know. So people will just think, oh, it's normal that I'm sending 100 messages and getting 2 responses.
Yeah.
They don't actually know, right, instead of messaging 100 people and getting 2, why don't I build relationship up with 20 and book 10 calls?
Yeah.
Because from that, firstly, you're actually building a relationship with someone straight away, and you're not playing this large numbers game. Yes, everything is a numbers game, but it's much more specific.
Yeah, it's like if you send a message to 1,000 people and you got 1 person, that's fantastic. But if there's a way of getting 10, if there's a way of getting 100, you would do it, wouldn't you? You would try a new approach.
Yeah.
So why do this in DMs over emails, would you say?
So I wouldn't say it's so much doing it over one or the other. The key bit is in that initial engagement with somebody.
Yeah.
So let's say I wanted to get Luke Chew on a call. The first thing I would do is I would go over to your LinkedIn profile and I would start engaging with you. So let's say you've done a post about how you took your dog for a walk on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you walked 5K and it was pouring down with rain. I will then comment and try and prompt a response from your piece of content.
Yep.
With my main goal of getting a two-way interaction with you. Now, when I get a two-way interaction with you through your content, it's going to do 3 main things. The first thing is I'm building that familiarity and trust around my LinkedIn profile. So you're going to see me, you're going to see my message pop up, you're going to recognize my face and my name. And that will mean 9 out of 10 times you're going to accept my request. Secondly, I'm training you to respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're commenting back on what I've commented on your piece of content, I'm now training that friendly response with you and getting rid of that stranger danger barrier. And lastly, what that's also going to do is LinkedIn's algorithm is going to link you both together. So when LinkedIn sees Luke and Josh commenting back and forth on each other's content, they will now try their best to keep us both on the platform. So this means every time I post, you will see it. And every time you post, I will see it.
Yeah, because the social algorithms will make sure that the content that people enjoy are always in front of them all the time.
Yeah, and if you're engaging with me, LinkedIn are going to go, right, Luke enjoys this.
Yeah.
So we're going to show it to him. So to answer your question, that's what you want to nail first, and then you want to worry about how's best to direct message this person.
It's a lot more
what emails next.
On email. Yeah, it's a lot more difficult on email. You could do a two-pronged approach where you send them a message and then prompt them in an email, say, hey, I just sent you a LinkedIn connection request. I'd love to get connected with you just so they're back on the platform. Because most of the time, not everyone's on social media all the time, but at the same time, they are. Because,
it all goes back to a touch point. So, Microsoft done a study And on average, you need 8 to 15 touch points before you make that sale.
Yeah.
So whether that's email, whether that's a webinar, a lead magnet, your content, these are all touch points which are leading up to it.
And it seems like a lot, but really what you're doing this with multiple people. It's not like you're commenting with one person and trying to, like, if you really want a dream client, really want to get one person on board, you would have that strong approach to it. But this is something you can scale. This is something which you can do with multiple people. So the 8 touch points, as long as you keep track of, you know, who you're commenting with, who you're engaging with, you will be able to get multiple prospects rather than just say, okay, this is a really slow approach. I did it to this one person and I liked and commented and I'm waiting for him to do it back. And it's like, well, no, that's not the point. It's a point of doing it with multiple prospects.
Yeah, if you're doing it all at once, or if you go, I'm going to just set 15 to 20 minutes per day, then it's just, you're just building up that habit within your mind. And it's not, like you said, you don't want to get too focused on just one person.
Yeah, when it comes to the social selling approach and the DM approach, people kind of do an all-at-once approach, which kind of sours them on the experience. Yeah,
or what they'll do is they'll go, right, I've been told to do this, I'm going to do it full on for a week and then not do it for 3 months and wonder why they don't get the results.
Yeah, I did 5 days where I posted content and then I engaged with people and I connected and I hit my invitation limit on LinkedIn and then I maybe got one or two conversations.
Yeah, and now I'm not going to do it again for no reason, really.
Yeah, but we know it does take months of time, but you can get results in the first 2 weeks if it's, you know, you really keep to it and your message is really on point. But you can get consistent business if you just keep doing it each month. Because we know all the stuff that we do, all the sales that come in for Maverick are months planned in advance. Like anything we do now in January, in March, we're going to see huge, like, big returns for it. And that's in terms of like corporate sales as well. That's not just like having selling some of our courses or selling like an ebook. This is like the deals that keep us like going, keeps the lights like switched on, keeps an office being built. You know, it's the good stuff.
Yeah, so corporates are always longer. So you always have to, in your back of your mind, know, right, I'm going to have a lot of a lot of touch points, a lot of engagements, multiple meetings before I can get this deal across the line.
Yeah.
So that's where you can use your LinkedIn. It's very, very powerful.
You also have to reach key decision makers as well, not just one person, but you can have to use account mapping that they have on Sales Navigator is really good for that, because you can see who, on which level you need to talk to.
Yeah, and I mean, we teach a lot of ways where you go, right, I need to speak to Luke. He's at the top of the chain, but he's not active. Now what do I do? I don't know. Maybe Jack and Tom are below Luke. I'm going to engage with them first because I know on their Monday morning meeting, Luke takes charge of it. So I want to build influence within the full company, which will eventually get up to Luke.
Yeah, so what they'll do is they'll relay the message of a value. Oh, I saw this really good post on LinkedIn which said we could do this and it would help us out. And then when it does help, oh, okay, that's great. I'll follow
Who told me that?
Yeah, who was that? I was like, oh, well, it was Josh. He was fantastic. I'm going to jump on a call with him. So you touched on something really good there, which is as long as they're active, because a lot of accounts on LinkedIn can be abandoned.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times people could be messaging people who aren't even there. How do you know you should message an account?
So the two tells, I mean, for us, it's a bit different because we want to target people who aren't using LinkedIn very well as well.
Yeah.
So we will do your generic email marketing and campaigns to get those people. Now, if you're not targeting people that we're targeting, so more generically, you want to be looking at people who have posted on LinkedIn in the last 30 days. Now, this is on your spotlights feature on Sales Navigator. So Sales Navigator is an extra add-on to LinkedIn, which you can purchase.
Yep.
So once you have that, you can actually start to curate lists based on those who are active. And a good one as well is people who have changed jobs in the last 90 days. So those who have changed jobs, they're more likely to implement something new and they're looking at it from a new set of eyeballs.
Yeah, they'll jump on LinkedIn as well because it probably, in the mindset, LinkedIn can sometimes be like a CV builder. So they're going on there to upload their experience, but it's way much more than that because then they realize, oh, this is actually a social platform for professionals. I can stay here.
Or even outside of it, let's say you run a recruitment company and maybe it's all digital. So you're maybe ensuring that you're getting the best person for your company, you could go, right, so how am I actually going to use LinkedIn to find these people?
Yeah, you can also track company growth as well on Sales Navigator. Sales Navigator is amazing for learning a lot about companies, the ins and outs, because a lot of stuff that you see behind the scenes, which you wouldn't see just on people's press releases, it would be stuff like, oh, this company has just been hired like 50 new members of staff, so you know for a fact that they're growing. So that's where I said with recruitment, they could probably look at it and go, okay, this company is growing fast, you know, which means
how can I leverage this now?
Yeah, how can I leverage it? I have ledger of the data for myself. And yeah, if you look at the activity of accounts, you can see that they've actually been online, they're engaging with people. So, you know, if you message them, they will respond or they will be there to look at the message.
Yeah.
Rather than look at these abandoned accounts where some CEO has made an account because he needs one and then just never looks at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. So any more tips or tricks or advice that you would give for someone who wants to start more two-way conversations on LinkedIn?
So I think the main tip is, firstly, identifying who you want to speak to. So identifying what job title, what industry, what location they are. Making sure they're active on the platform and not being too gung-ho. So yes, you want to get that sales call.
Yeah.
But the amount of times I've seen people burn the leads because they're too quick or too keen, it would amaze you. So you just want to build up a two-way interaction first before sending that connection request or before pitching.
I'll say one last question to ask. Do you put kind regards at the end of all your messages?
No.
No. You don't do it, do you?
No. It's not an email.
Everyone thinks it's like an email, but it's really not. Because people are like, hello, this person. This is my invitation for this event. And no one talks like that on social media. So we should do a campaign of kill kind regards.
Yeah, leave it to the emails. Yeah,
kind regards to kind regards. All right, well, thanks for joining me for the podcast, Josh.
That's okay, my first one, and I'm sure I'll be on a few more.
A few more, yeah. If people want to connect with you, you're open to connect on LinkedIn, aren't you?
Yeah, of course.
Fantastic. Right, well, thanks for watching the Maverick podcast. Listen to the Maverick podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us for more of this content. If you're really enjoying our tips and tricks, head over to our YouTube and subscribe on there. Well, click the notification bell so you get notified every time we post, and we will see you next time.